Weekend over, back to work on the Lori and Julia show. So we're going to talk about what we did over the weekend. We're going to talk about entertainment news. I see we might have some Sex and the City news coming up. We might have some Bee Gees news coming up. We've got all sorts of stuff for you.
Rocco, you just got in by the skin of your pants or teeth or whatever it is. You come flying in this building.
That's right. Well, I've been like
Working at home.
Yeah. I feel like as long as I don't need to be here,
absolutely,
I'll stay at home.
Rocco,
I'm doing it for everybody.
I got to say that one of your Christmas gifts to me led to my weekend claim to fame.
Oh, good.
Oh, I want to know what this is.
The Tattersall Manhattan and Old Fashioned that you gave us, the pre-mixed.
Did you drink it? You don't even drink that kind of stuff.
Oh, Julia, I brought it over to my friend Annie. Shout out to Annie if she's listening.
Hi, Annie.
And neither one of us really like whiskey, but we thought it had been such a hard week.
Sure.
And we needed to discuss and rehash everything. And even though it was only like 2 in the afternoon, we thought, let's have, like, and pretend we're sitting at a supper club somewhere fancy. It's 2 in the afternoon.
Oh.
We envisioned Mancini's. She got the great glasses and then a lot of ice. And then we took a sip and we're like, whoa, is that strong? But by the end of the drink, it was so like, good that we opened a bottle of wine.
Oh.
And Petit Moi was hungover at 8 o'clock at night.
You did day drinking.
Julia, I did day drinking, and it was also my first hangover since pandemic has started.
This is unusual.
Julia,
this is very unusual for a girl like who we know.
Because I like to go out.
You do.
And get my cocktail on. And anyway, I was absolutely pie-eyed, and my friend only lives like two blocks from me, so I walk.
I know.
And I got my boots on, and I'm kind of slipping and sliding, and I'm thinking, oh boy, I hope I'm not in trouble with Casey. And I'm like, well, where are we going? What are we doing?
Nothing.
And
that's hysterical.
I got home, and he goes, are you kind of buzzed? I go, Casey, it's all Rocco's fault. He gave me, I drank a Manhattan.
I haven't drank those yet. They're so good, though.
So good.
I think I had one. I had one on Friday, too.
They're just nice and strong, but then we got emboldened and then drank a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that'll kick you.
And then I shopped in her closet.
Yeah, well, that's the best way to shop. Did you have to pay, or is that free shopping?
No, it was free shopping.
That is a lovely way to shop.
And I was in bed by 9:30, and I nursed my hangover between 8 and 9:30 and drank a bunch of water and had my aspirin, and I woke up fine. You know.
Your first COVID hangover, that's something.
Julia, I was really trying to think about it.
Right.
I haven't had one.
I'm trying to think
of it.
I had one like in September, I think early October.
Okay.
I had, and I think it was on the brown liquor too. Because I think I bought a big jug, it feels like, of like Manhattan mix.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it was Tattersall, but I do love, because they have the servings and it's like a serving and a half.
Yes.
You know, in those skinny bottles, Rocco, don't you think?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
And
but
they have the old fashioned and the Manhattan. And they're so good.
They were really, really delicious.
And I like to taste liquor. That is my COVID thing. I want to taste
like,
it versus vodka where you can't taste anything.
Oh, no. We were so tenant. We're like, oh, this is really strong. We're going to be able, this is going to last us all afternoon.
Sure, we'll just sip.
We sipped.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was gone.
The third sip, you feel
and
it
was like, wow, that stuff is great. What else? Yeah. And then you with your good weekend pick of Lupin.
Oh, my gosh.
Did everybody watch it?
I did not. I did my other assignment, the Tiger Woods.
All right, you'll tell us that. I did that, too. All right, Lupin, I started Friday night after the Bee Gees.
Oh.
Watched the Bee Gees documentary on Friday night. Boy, that makes you cry. And it put you back in a time, because we grew up in that time, and it was so fun, and it was so sad at the same time, because they were brothers, you know, that was one good documentary,
really.
And then Lupin, all right, so Lupin,
hot
for people,
man, good detective show, right. And set in Paris,
yes,
that is my summary of it.
Well, here it is. It takes because we all dove in it in my family, you, Casey, John, my mom, I think Omar Sy is the main actor who plays
the hot man,
Hassan Diop. And what it is Lupin takes its inspiration from a very popular fictional character in France, Arsène Lupin, a gentleman thief, master of disguise, created by Maurice LeBlanc in the early 1900s and gives it a contemporary twist. And so it's all based on these books about this gentleman thief.
But is it a fictional book?
I think so, Laurie. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But and then this man, Hassan, tries to get revenge on something that happened to his dad 25 years earlier. But it's all through this gentleman magic and thievery.
The honorable burglar tricks.
It's so good.
It was really good.
It's so good.
Really,
and
really
I was
good.
So disappointed there were only five, because when the fifth one was over, because I mean, you really, it's addictive.
It's wealthy people behaving badly, and it's to delicious heights the way
they
do it.
Yeah, it's a little Mission Impossible, a little James Bond, a little revenge, and it is all set in Paris. And so here's the one line I wanted you to laugh at, because mm-hmm. Emily in Paris is the last time we've been to Paris in a Netflix show. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things it said is that the folks in Paris... I think this is based on, Lori, I think this is based
on a
real story. It is based on a real book. But the people in France said that it was so predictable and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't like it that much.
Oh,
but it's number one around the world right now. So if you're on, it's LUPIN and it's...
Hot Man, good detective show set in Paris.
And there's only five of them, right?
There's only five. They're 50 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed when the fifth one was over. I'm like, now what am I supposed to do? It's
next
only mid-afternoon.
Please. Right, yeah. Next chapter.
So anyway, that is like a good one for everybody.
Rocco, how was the Tiger Woods? I DVR'd it, didn't watch it yet.
I enjoyed it. Julia, you watched it too?
I watched, 2/3 of it last night.
Yeah. I think it's really kind of interesting to go back and watch how amazing. I mean, basically the first half is... And the second half is going to be next Sunday. The first half is basically setting up for the downfall. Mm-hmm. But it's the uprising of the amazing Tiger Woods, starting from, you know, footage from when he was 2 years old on the Mike Douglas show.
Did it feel like it was stuff you already knew?
In a way, I thought so. But there's a character they bring in, Julia, the other guy that golfed with Tiger, the guy from like the Navy. Right?
Okay, I fell asleep before that. you lasted a little longer than I did.
But they're going to talk about maybe why Tiger became such a womanizer, cheater. Mm-hmm. They sort of hint at what's coming up. But, it's pretty amazing to watch this footage. And then just to remember what... I mean, he came onto the scene and just dominated and won the Pebble Beach by, 10 strokes and the Masters. And he just was just killing it.
And he wasn't a cheater.
No.
He wasn't a cheater.
And that was the thing, because I was talking to Lori about...
Lance
Armstrong documentary was so good.
You know, I think of maybe in part two, I want to say he had a bit of some steroid...
Oh, he did?
Okay. When he was trying to recover from his back surgery and stuff, but we'll see that next week.
All right.
It was really, for me, I was, he didn't do anything really bad except for cheat on his, I mean, which is horrible, but that's his personal life. Yeah. As far as the game of golf, he elevated it. Mm-hmm. It just took me back to a time, I mean, the kids and I, we would sit and watch Tiger.
Yeah.
We would watch dumb Lance Armstrong biking. I mean, I was in a jock family, me and the boys.
Yeah.
And we'd watch him bike, and then we'd watch Tiger Woods play golf. This is our summers.
Yeah.
Boy, are we fun.
I know, but...
But it was, we'd always watch it because he made it so fun. It was...
Yeah, and he was like this young upstart and kind of just trying to shake up this stodgy world of golf, and then he did it.
He did it.
He was just dominant. And then they tried to I don't even think they got into this yet, but, you know, they tried to change the courses. They're like, he can hit it that far. Well, we better change the courses so that we can tiger-proof it. And then he would still beat him.
Wow. I want to watch it for sure.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. I think I fell asleep.
We were busy watching Lupin.
Oh,
the last of Lupin.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
What a weekend.
And I had to watch a little Elvis this weekend.
Same.
I watched...
I did too.
I watched Spin Out and Viva Las Vegas. What'd you watch, Rocco?
I watched Jailhouse Rock with the family on Friday night, and everybody loved it.
And I tried to watch King Creole, which you love, Rocco. It's black and white.
Yeah. A little slow. What did you think?
A little slow, but there's a network. If you just ask your TV to find Elvis Presley movies, you can find them for free.
Yeah,
if you don't have TCM.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought King Creole was on like Pluto or something.
Yes,
right?
Pluto. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Well,
Rocco told us many times.
I know, it used to be a planet.
Not anymore.
But yeah, that was kind of fun.
All right, listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. Yes, that is the Sex and the City music. If you didn't know yet, Sex and the City is back. It happened over the weekend. It was rumored at back in December that HBO was going to be bringing back Sex and the City, yep. The TV show in some iteration. We got Will Reeve from GMA giving us.
Okay.
Sex and the City is back. Sarah Jessica Parker teasing this short video on Instagram, writing in her character's signature style, "I couldn't help but wonder, where are they now?"
I couldn't help but wonder.
HBO Max saying the 10-episode series will follow Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte as they navigate the journey from the complicated reality of life and friendship in their 30s to the even more complicated reality of life and friendship in their 50s. Noticeably absent from the show, Kim Cattrall, who played the sexy and scandalous Samantha Jones.
Still no love?
No.
A public feud between Cattrall and Parker revealing that two of television's best friends aren't friends at all. In 2018, Parker shared her condolences on an Instagram post of Cattrall and her late brother. Cattrall fired back, posting, "I don't need your love and support at this tragic time, at Sarah Jessica Parker. Let me make this very clear. You are not my friend." Cattrall later telling Piers Morgan that the cast had never been friends and that she would not partake in a remake of the show.
This isn't about more money. It's not about more scenes. It's not about any of those things. This is about a clear decision, an empowered decision in my life to end one chapter and start another.
Okay. So that was 2 years ago.
Yep.
And Sex and the City. And I guess we posted that little tiny trailer. The show is going to be called And Just Like That, ... But everyone will call it Sex in the City.
Right.
But Samantha was the sex. It could be called Shoes in the City, mm-hmm. theoretically, right mm-hmm. now.
Well, him. Okay, so Rocco,
yes.
On TV Line, you know, in all these different places, they're saying, here's the only way Sex in the City revival can work without Samantha. A lot of people are talking about how they can make it work. And one of the things... And you scroll down, you see a picture of the ladies, and then the very second photo, or usually the first photo of the four of them together, is them holding their cosmopolitan cocktails, standing facing each other and laughing. And Samantha, Kim Cattrall, who's not coming back, is holding our nipple enhancer body perks in her hands. Mm-hmm. This photo is everywhere. I just tweeted it out at Lori and Julia.
They do use that one a lot because always. They're all laughing in delight.
In delight. And this is our nipple enhancer episode that got us this radio show wrap.
Nice. I'm going to go.
Okay.
But anyway.
There it is.
They say it would start out with Samantha's funeral.
Okay, we don't know what it's going to start out with, because here's an interesting thing. So this Taffy Brodesser Ackner, I read a book of her. She used to write for the New York Times. She may still, I'm not sure, but yesterday she said, please respond below with your suggested plot line that explains Samantha's absence.
Okay.
The fifth person to respond, now this is on Twitter, Sarah Jessica Parker is very... Twitter lazy. She doesn't go there. Insta is her place.
Right. Okay.
Okay. The fifth person to respond to Taffy says, is SJP, pen and paper at ready, X. And she's executive producing along with Michael Patrick King.
And the two other ladies.
The two other ladies. The three co-stars, all of them, Miranda, Carrie, and Charlotte, are making $1 million per episode.
Yep.
$10 million, you guys.
Each.
Mm. Did they let Kim Cattrall know that? Although she has said
she has said
that the
money...
She is
done. She has said that so many times. I'm done.
I mean, okay.
For us, she's our favorite.
Love.
She had the funniest lines. She had the sassiest storyline.
Yes.
She was the humor. She was
the sex in the city.
She was the star.
Because if you even think about it, Carrie Bradshaw was a pretty prudish sex writer.
Beyond.
But, I mean, I loved the four of them. And when they said Will Reeve, you know, somebody wrote that script for him when he said, if it was complicated in their 30s, it's even more complicated friendship in their 50s. Right. I don't know about that. They could have it. They could be one of three things for Kim Cattrall. They could recast her, which I don't think they will do.
No, with Sharon Stone.
With Sharon Stone. Mm-hmm. Although Hannah thought they could cast me, but one's my problem, I don't act.
That's so funny, because Hannah did our social media director.
The show, and just like that, could open with the three ladies in the back seat of a limo, clearly leaving a cemetery.
Right, the funeral. Okay,
the funeral. Mm-hmm. Or it could be that, like, she did the PR for the fire festival, and she's holed up with Smith, you know.
Hiding because that was such a disaster.
It's such a disaster, and she was, you know, like, they could write her out that way, that she's on a spiritual retreat, or sure. she, and they could have a list of things that she PR'd, you know, disasters.
That'd be funny.
That would be,
That'd be funny.
One thing, or that she had some kind of an entanglement with a billionaire after she and Smith broke up, even though everyone wanted her to end up with Smith.
But she was moving at the end it of got the messed. Movie. She was moving back to New York, and he was staying in California.
Yeah, I know.
She broke up with him.
I know.
After she sat on Valentine's Day naked on the dining room table with the sushi all over herself.
I know.
I just watched that movie not too long ago. It's, for us, I'd love.
And of course, you know, they could have her breast cancer come back and die. Sure. That would be realistically real. Although I would challenge Michael Patrick King and Sarah Jessica Parker that, you know, what is that cancer drug that saves so many women's lives?
Versedol.
No,
or is that something else? That's the COVID one. Heparin. Heparin, you know it. It's with an H. Your auntie was on it.
Yeah.
Heparin.
They discovered it.
Herceptin.
Herceptin. Thank you. Gosh. Thank you.
Sounds
good
like
one.
Rhymes with.
Right.
Okay.
But that has saved so many lives.
So many
but
lives.
Of course, women still are dying of breast cancer. I mean, men can die of breast cancer.
I don't want that.
That's my least favorite. Same. But I can see that happening because Sarah Jessica Parker,
there's no love lost between these.
Here on Instagram,
okay.
We love her. A fan claimed that she and Kim don't get along, and Sarah responded to this woman's comment. I don't dislike her. I've never said that, never would. Samantha isn't part of the story, but she will always be part of us no matter where we are, what we do. X. She always signs everything X. Mm-hmm. So that's a nicely worded statement, but Kim will always be part of the Sex and the City because she's in the reruns, she's in the movies, she's paid residuals.
She's done everything.
I mean, she's written out.
She's the funniest. She literally is.
It could be quite bland without her.
Well,
but
that's what
not.
They won't let it be bland,
no.
First
okay.
of all. They won't
all right.
let it be bland. But I think the thing that they're saying in this article is that her, if the one of the scenarios is that she did pass away and it opens up at her funeral or something, it would rock the ladies so hardcore they would try to figure out some. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is I don't care. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, Darren Star is not going to be a part of it.
No, he's Emily in Paris. He's
got a Viacom CBS
and
thing.
And all he ever really did was, I mean, it was Michael Patrick King who wrote that. But
and who called you on your phone?
Yeah.
Who called you on your phone when you found out they were going to use our nipple enhancers as a storyline?
His admin guy, Ted.
Mm-hmm. And the episode season 4, episode 6, Baby Talk is Cheap, is when Lori got our body perk nipple enhancers on Sex and the City. Yeah. And the rest is history.
There you go. And here we are today.
Yeah, we are. We don't own Body Perk's website.
But $1 million an episode? That's 10 million paychecks.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
Hey, everybody. It is January 11th. So just to wrap up the Sex and the City reboot on HBO Max, which will be called And Just Like That, it's 10 half-hour episodes.
Are they half-hour?
They're half-hour. So
and
that's
$1 million
an episode, which apparently is $1 million an episode is the new
going rate
for people who can command something that would be considered high octane.
Yep.
Reese Witherspoon got that for Big Little Lies and some of those other people. And of course, so they're going to start shooting in the spring.
Okay.
But the fact that Kim Cattrall said, I have pen and paper ready to Taffy's response.
Kim Cattrall said
SJP said that, you know, like they already
have the script, but they'll be curious.
But who knows, you know, who knows? But Roger Friedman said Kim Cattrall is to Sex and the City what Mary Wilson is to the Supremes, and he's like, you know, we don't know any of the plot. Okay, Charlotte Miranda's kids have grown up. Carrie is maybe had a kid or not. Is she still with Big? We've heard nothing about Christopher Knoth. Have they time jumped? Will the kids all be teenagers? Will there be a sexy character? We don't know, but it could be.
They wouldn't do it if it wasn't clever and smart, Lori. That was one of the things I always thought about the writing. It was clever and smart and fun.
Well, we'll see. I mean, some of the Sex and the City, if you watch it now, it feels very dated.
Well, of course it does.
Yeah, some of it does.
Here is a couple things like that.
I mean, that they're living in New York City. There are no black people. There are no, but I'm just saying it has a datedness to it, but also the time period that it was on. I mean, Robert Duvall, like, he didn't do The Godfather 3 because he wasn't offered Al Pacino money and he'd been in the 2. So he's like, I'm not doing it. So they just write you out. I mean, soap operas do it.
They do it.
You know, I hope they gave Kim Cattrall the chance to turn it down one last time. But who knows how many bridges were burned
when they were going to make the third movie and she pulled out. It sounded like they were ready to go.
And then
she just said no.
So I have a feeling that, no, she wasn't. And, you know, anyway, she'll be missed. I don't know what they're going to do to stop the bland without her.
Well, they're going to have to be creative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I don't want it to be the Dead.
Lori, we have a year and a half probably before it's going to come on air.
No, I bet it's out next fall.
You think so? If they are doing it this spring? Well, they're not going to do anything dumb.
Yeah.
They're too smart.
Julia, where are you getting your intel?
I'm just saying, why would anyone want to do something that's not fun?
I'm not saying that, but I mean, like, I'm just like, where is that sizzle part of the show?
They're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think they know what she offered. They're not stupid. All right, moving on. I'm curious.
I don't want it to be bored in the city.
I know, Lori, but just stop. Just stop. We don't know what it's going to be. Okay, so Jason Sudeikis, what is going on here?
Oh, my gosh.
So Sudeikis.
Neil Sedaka said what?
He called Jason Sudeikis and said, can we play Sudoku?
Jason Sudeikis.
Okay. Well, what kind of a name is a Sudeikis?
It's always been that. You've never pronounced it right. So just for the sake of this next portion, let's just call him Jason. Okay? Star of Ted Lasso.
Apple Plus.
That is a funny show.
You can pronounce that one, right?
Ted Lasso. There you go. Someone I know watched 10 episodes on Saturday and said it's so funny.
It is funny. So, okay. So a week ago today, Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde were at the San Ysidro Ranch in Montecito, where he was officiating the wedding of his manager, and he was photographed wearing a Gucci suit, holding hands with Olivia Wilde in a Gucci, you know, floral kind of granny gown. Yeah, and they were holding hands, and it was just like, I mean, people were just losing their minds. Zoe Kravitz mailed Olivia Wilde a bouquet because it totally bumped her and her husband's breakup right off of the everything, because all of a sudden we have this new couple, and you know, the situation had all the classics of a Hollywood romance. They started working together on a movie. Their chemistry was immediately evident to everybody. Where have we heard this before?
And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt.
But this happens a lot of movies. Apparently, how we first even heard about this, there's this account called Not Skinny But Not Fat Instagram.
Is that mine?
Yeah, a little.
Not skinny, but I'm not fat.
Where they were, it was getting louder and louder about Olivia Wilde's and Jason's you know, story about their breakup timeline was off by a million miles. And on Friday, People Magazine is not Us Weekly. It's not a tabloid. They don't run stuff because their whole thing is they're like Entertainment Tonight. And that way they want to always keep future interviews possible with all the people.
They don't want anything too negative on anybody.
Well, not that. But if there are two sides to a breakup story, they will have it. But it has to be well sourced. Okay? Because then no one can say you're taking sides. People Magazine put out not one, but two stories from Team Camp Jason Sudeikis. First, the appetizer. Jason is absolutely heartbroken about the split, and he had hoped they were going to repair things. He was so crazy about her. He waited to kiss her when they first started dating because he was so sure she would be the last woman he kissed. These are the kinds of details in the appetizer.
Kind of like that.
Isn't that good?
I kind of like that. Who's ever coming up with that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Then the main course, the second People magazine story, was that Jason had no idea Olivia wanted out of the relationship until October, which is, of course, a few weeks after she started spending time with Harry and directing him, which was in September. And it was well after that early 2020 timeline that was originally floated. So People is definitely got word from several sources from Team Camp Jason Sudeikis. Sudeikis pushing back on Olivia's timeline that they broke up in January and they kept things friendly and that they really kind of broke up in midsummer.
Right.
No, no. He says, I mean, whether or not, I don't know what Harry knew about what where they were in the relationship. The Sun is reporting that Olivia told Harry, yes, indeedy, I'm single. And many people would lie through their teeth. I'm looking at you, you know, and they're with Harry. So exciting.
Right.
She said, no, right. I'm single. But that's the Sun. But there are UK sources that will, you know, will know the inside scoop from Harry. But the simple, I mean, the version of it, basically Harry and Olivia were so infatuated with each other. She cheated on Jason and then did him even dirtier by
manipulating him
and the media about the breakup. I do. Because the fact that Jason is pushing back means that he feels he has been made a fool of. Maybe she told him nothing. Nothing is going on.
Colleen and Bradley believe this is a fomance.
Oh, no, they believe everything is a fomance, though. So, you know, taking it to People magazine is a choice. It blows the story up in a bigger way. The headline that Jason didn't know about Olivia wanting to leave and then being heartbroken. Julia, that's a billboard on a busy highway that people are like, tell me more, you know?
Right.
And that's sanctioned by him. Whereas, because he might not have been sure, she might have just said to him after filming started the first couple of weeks, and it was like, she was like, I got the hots for this guy, and I'm bored with Jason. She probably just said, we're going to take a try, whatever. You know, people tell people BS, you know, for breaking up. No one ever really comes right out and says, I want to screw somebody else. I'm done with you. You know, Rocco, that's been my experience in the breaking up department. Listen. You know, really, people are not honest.
So well, she says you don't to hurt him,
but you got to be honest, especially when you're a public figure, and then you get your guy to go along with the public.
So what are you saying? Just stop.
So
basically, you're saying she was still with Jason Sudeikis.
He's positioning himself as the Jennifer Aniston in this situation. Okay.
I don't know what happened. I thought we were fine.
Yes, Olivia has told him something. And apparently this was a story she told her first about her first husband breakup. She did sort of a similar thing. And she had a jump off from her first husband.
Apparently.
So, anyway, I mean, Olivia cheated on him and he wants
to. Do you believe this?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
She used the media to put out a story that they'd broken up back in January. Really, it was more like, you know, 2 weeks after filming started, which is September. Okay.
Okay.
But they promised not, and she didn't do. They kept it quiet. Right. Very quiet.
All right.
But now that she used that, now he's firing back, and he's firing back in people. And his people went to Page Six.
And he's just saying, this is wrong. We were still together.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's answering it by putting out his own.
Would you do that? Would you do that if
someone? It's tit for tat, love and war. You're public figures.
You're embarrassing me. We just had everyone over at our house last weekend, and now you're with someone else and said we broke up a year ago.
This is a show we can't turn away from. This is a show that now both of them are producing from separate corners. And remember, one of her stories was that the relationship burned out because she was more successful than he was. with her directing.
Oh, no, I never heard that.
Oh, you and I talked about it, and you said no.
I feel like it was gone.
No, you said, I remember you saying no, because you were like, no, Jason has a lot going on with Ted Lasso. Yeah. You knew about that show. And here's one more piece of evidence. Those two crazy kids bought a home in the UK together in like August, because he'd be filming Ted Lasso. The family was going to go there.
So they just bought a home together in August. So yeah. They were very much together. Okay. Oh my gosh. So she just.
So Harry Styles, Jason is pretty sure that Harry Styles is the reason Olivia Wilde dumped him.
Well, if they're together.
We've got another.
If they're together, that would seem like it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But maybe Harry didn't know. You know, she could have told
him. Do you think Olivia Wilde's hot, Rocco?
Yeah, she's all right. I'm into it.
She's all right.
The word on the set.
Okay.
Is she's a major a-hole.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, now that's disappointing news.
Yeah. But she may, you know, I don't know if she comes from her a-hole thing by nature or whatever. She's from some family, some fancy family.
She's an a-hole. She was born an a-hole.
Yeah,
she was born not only with one.
She counts royals, Hollywood legends, and the world's leading writers in her lineage. Oh, she has a very well-connected past.
All right, fine.
Where Harry was brought up above a pub.
Right.
And left to go on a show. And her father was a journalist. The late writer Christopher Hitchens was her babysitter. Brideshead Revisited author Evelyn Waugh was her, like.
Was she married to that Italian count or prince?
Yes.
Was that her? Yeah.
An Italian prince. Yeah, and she's linked to that prince through the Getty dynasty. And Harry's family is very plain, but she's. Her family parties, like that she would have when she was growing up, Spielberg, Salman Rushdie, Mick Jagger. Right, so apparently she's snotty.
All right, fine. I would be too.
Yeah.
I would be too if I grew up with that. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, oh gosh, I did finally watch the Bee Gees, and we have got to talk about the Kamala Harris cover of Vogue. WTF is all we can say. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. Rocco, why'd you pick that Bee Gees song?
It's kind of one I've been digging lately. Fanny Be Tender.
Oh, I never knew that was the name of it.
I know. It's kind of a weird title, Fanny Be Tender With My Love, but.
I've always loved that song, but I never knew that was the name of it. Be tender, Fanny, be tender with my love.
I spent a lot of time with that Barry Gibb record on Saturday morning. And there's a lot of I like about it. I
the
like
green
the Brandy.
Fields?
Yeah, the Brandy Carlile song is really good.
Mm.
I like a couple others. The Jillian Welch, the Alison Krauss, there's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, it's getting like universal acclaim, that Green Fields Volume 1. So he's going to do duets with some other country. And he gave an interview with John Bream that was in yesterday's paper. And he said about the Green Fields, he said a lot of country music just wasn't called country music in Australia in 1958. A lot of the songs were like Ballad of a Teenage Queen with Johnny Cash, and It's Only Make-Believe with Conway Twitty. That was Our Real Love, was that kind of song. So for him, he felt like doing this country thing was easy, a natural. And right. He was such a country fan. In 2006, he bought Johnny Cash's and June Carter's Cash's home outside Nashville to use as a songwriting retreat. But during renovation, the old wood house was destroyed by fire.
Oh, no.
And anyway, he still just lives in Miami, but he did a telephone interview with John Bream that was really quite good. And here's, I don't know, you know, Barry is really quite, he gives good interview. He has like no filter. And Bream asked him about this supposed Bee Gees biopic.
Okay.
And his memoir. And for the past 5 years, Barry Gibb has been sharing his story as his daughter Ashley types his words. He figures he is at least 2 more years before his memoir will be done. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
First, though, he wants the Bee Gees biopic to be released. Work started 6 months ago with the same producer who did Bohemian Rhapsody, and
really?
Paramount Studios is on board. Bream asked Barry Gibb who should portray him in the movie, and Barry said, "I don't know, but I've heard rumors it's Bradley Cooper, who would be perfect as Barry Gibb in the pant bouquet and the chest hair."
Yeah, he's got the chest hair. Right?
He's got the hair.
He can grow the hair, exactly.
And so we haven't heard that rumor. He told Bream he's more concerned that his brothers Maurice and Robin be accurately depicted. He said, "We want people to see the humorous side of our lives, that we had some amazing things, and I want them to sparkle regardless of what it has to do with me. Lift my brothers up."
Okay. First of all, I watched that documentary Friday night, and you guys had already seen it. It is everything, and
wasn't it so good?
It's so good, and he was so forthright and honest. I mean, they started out, their dad, you know, was a musician. He didn't make it, and the kids could all harmonize, and so he just took them. They were like Donny Osmond, you know, working since
Osmonds.
They were five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just working, and then go to London and their things with the Beatles and having more hits than them initially and all that kind of stuff. But then when he was talking about the pain of his brothers dying, and I think we touched on this last week, just how painful it must be to lose a sibling.
Oh my gosh. They say it's the is just a crushing kind of grief that there's been books, you know, or people that talk about like that sibling grief is really, really, you know, something that people don't talk about. It. We know that we're going to grieve about our parents,
sure,
but
or our kids.
You don't even think about your kids.
Of course not, but
siblings,
sibling.
You're always real used to them. Yeah. So it was very raw and real with him. It seemed like he could have teared up at any time.
It really did. And the way they came up with the sound for Saturday Night Fever and what a fluke that was. And then the disco suck thing from that Chicago
DJ. Yeah.
I was calling it a CJ, but that's a good, that was just a great show. And then, I mean, and he said, we always had a pill in us or a drink in our hand, you know, just talked about how the rock and roll stuff, but it didn't get into it as much as like Elton John and the hair and the outfits.
Oh my. Bradley Cooper, though, is a perfect Baron Gibb. So I think John Bream, you got a scoop for that because I haven't seen that anywhere. And I guess.
And how much Barry, who is the only one that's left alive, who was the best looking of the Bee Gees because there was Maurice and Robin. How much Andy, the younger brother, who was so much younger, looked like Barry. Unbelievable.
Even though they were like 12 years apart.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And Barry was doing an interview across the pond on a talk show. The Australian TV show. And the TV host said, "I have to tell you, Barry, I was a teenager in the 70s when the Stayin' Alive music video came out. All those white pants, I just want to say thank you." Barry giggled awkwardly and just said, "Well, I remember how difficult they were to get on and how difficult they were to get off." You know? Oh, man, because they were unforgiving trousers and we were happier for it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at a funny photo of the Gibbs with other musicians with Lady Di, Princess Diana and Prince Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. That biopic will be really good, I think. And then he also told John Bream that he recorded with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson came and stayed with him in 2002 to do a demo. And he just said it was in the middle of the allegations of child molestation. I could see he just he was fading inside. He was depressed.
Right.
And I guess that song was released in 2011. But anyway, it's a great interview that Bream did, and also the Wii Fest has been announced for next August. Tickets
What are the dates?
Sale. August 5th to the 7th. Tickets go on sale on Friday.
Nice.
So
good.
So they've got a plan.
They've got a plan, and it's outdoors.
Yes, it is.
You gotta love that.
Yeah. So Anywho, and Madonna is thinking about casting Florence Pugh to play her in the biopic that she's going to direct about her own life.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to Kamala on the other side. Right. But Madonna, yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted that gal from Ozarks, that Julie. Oh, you like Julia Garner.
Okay, let me just tell you guys something. So we're sitting here talking about music. So they did the 10 best-selling albums of 2020. Number one was Folklore with Taylor Swift. We already knew that. 1.276 million copies. Number one. Number 10 was her second album, Evermore, with 283,000. And literally, second in line, Lori, was BTS. They sold 675,000 units. But Taylor Swift, really, she had number one and number 10.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
And she's the first act to have the year's top-selling album five times since they've been tracking this since 1992, if you're keeping records.
That's something.
Yeah, isn't it?
Go, Taylor. Go, Taylor. Kind of nice it's a woman and such a young one.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, we will be back in just a second.